Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast covers everything tech. The hottest mobile phones, tablets, games. We review it, rate it, test it. Whether you're Microsoft or Apple, Android or iPhone, we'll give it to you
again and again.
Black and white. The Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast.
Welcome to Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Charney.
And I'm your co-host, Shay Northrup.
Today we're going to be talking a little bit about 3D printing, somebody suing Comcast again, and a whole myriad of stories about Apple. So let's just jump straight into it. So the EU expands copyright to furniture and extends term by a century. So it's official. The EU is competing with a mouse on how long they can extend copyrights for. So the most interesting thing about this is basically to stop cheap Chinese knockoffs from, more or less, to have the paraphrase, from copying furniture. But nowadays with 3D technology, it's really easy to scan something and just do a straight one-to-one print.
Oh, that's true.
Which seems kind of weird when we're talking about furniture, even, you know, like a decade or more since this technology has actually existed. So since this is EU, and I don't know if Britain has the same laws, since now they're moving out of the European Union, this interesting part in the article that I did found says the Guardian celebrates an end to cheap Chinese knockoffs in an article that describes how classic furniture design that's older than 25 years will be moved out of public domain where anybody can use the design for any purpose and back under exclusive rights. See, that's to me something that's interesting. How do you copyright furniture? And realistically, how many different designs can you make of a table and chair and whatever? Because there's a bunch of classic designs and modern designs that, at least from what I know, haven't changed all that much. But how often do you look for end tables, you know?
Well, I guess there are little minor things that change it, right? Like there's the old saying, you can't reinvent the chair, but you can, I don't know, change the way it looks, I suppose.
I don't actually think this is a bad idea in theory, because that's definitely a lot of problems manufacturers do have, is they'll make something and then when it goes public and everybody gets it, there's 1,000 different variants of it, generally all by cheap Chinese manufacturers.
Right, and the cheap Chinese manufacturers don't care. They're making money off of the original design.
And it's weird. I mean, I think it's weird because definitely you're moving, say, a 25-year-old design from out of copyright to in copyright. That's like somebody buying rights to, I don't know, everybody's favorite Christmas movie, and then now you never see said Christmas movie on TV because it's actually owned by somebody now.
Right.
It's just, see, this to me, this also brings up a bunch of other stuff. If you're going to go far this far, is like 3D printed firearms. I know there's a conversation happening within the industry and government, of course, about having software that actually blocks you from 3D printing weapons. I'm not quite sure how that would actually happen, because you could print separate parts and assemble it. I mean, so it's a really strange conversation when you're trying to do that. Now, this one sounds like it's going to be via the law versus doing it, you know, DRM-wise. I mean, what do you think?
I think that's an interesting... The firearm conversation is very interesting. I know you can do all kinds of things with 3D printers and firearms, like making receivers and all sorts of things. But I don't know if... they don't really... Do firearm companies technically have patents on their designs? I mean, like once one thing comes out and it works, it just gets copied over and over again. And you know what I mean?
I think it depends on the firearm. Like, for example, the 1911, which most gun enthusiasts will say is the greatest gun ever made, has been out since 1911, so over 100 years.
Well, and it's the most copied firearm in history.
Yeah. So that one, no. But I'm assuming maybe the newer ones. I can't think of any, like, brand new ones. But say Barrett came out with some really high-tech firearm.
Gotcha.
Maybe the design, but my guess would be parts of the design and the material. Like, for example, Glock, I would not doubt when it first came out, being one of the first non-metal frames came out. I have no doubt parts of the process was secret, like the machinery and the tooling. Maybe the material they made it out of was if not copyrighted, it was protected.
Right.
I don't know. I'm not exactly sure how that works. I mean, I definitely know people who have worked in the industry that would know more than I would.
Well, and there's definitely like a billion different M4 manufacturers out there.
Well, yeah, at that point, the technology for the M4, which is, you know, the AR-15 and M16 and all that, the basics haven't changed.
Right.
That was all actually invented by Eugene Stoner. And a little bit of trivia for everybody. Most people think AR actually stands for assault rifle. It actually stands for Armalite rifle, which was the company owned and started by Eugene Stoner that actually created the AR-15 and M16. Just a little bit of trivia for you guys. Yeah, I don't know. See, I doubt it's licensed. I think at this point, it's such a generic thing that the only difference you get is quality. Like certain manufacturers,
right,
the more money you spend, the better you get. I mean, it's not always the case, but that's generally how it works. And cell phones and guns.
I'm sure you can like patent the cooling systems and stuff like that.
Yeah, I know there was a company from my hometown who moved across the United States that had a firearm that had like 12 levels of adjustability. Now, if you're an Olympic shooter, that's awesome because you can tune it down. If you're like average Joe shooter, there's no reason why you want to spend $3,500 in a gun that has more adjustability than you'll ever use.
Because you can.
Exactly. I don't want to get too down the rabbit hole of that, but the interesting thing about the firearms is I generally, when they come up, I download them as fast as possible just because, for one, I'm an old AutoCAD operator. I actually started out my career doing architectural and structural drafting, so I know enough about 3D to be handy with it. And so I download it, open up the AutoCAD or whatever 3D file viewer I have, and I get them because at some point I think it'd be fun to test on a press level is to see how well it actually works and handles. But the issue with this is definitely with this and other things is, how do you stop people from doing this? Now, with firearms, you generally actually have to get a manufacturer's license because you're dealing with the government, the ATF, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. Now, with knives, on the other hand, that doesn't exist.
Right.
But how do you control this, especially in something when, if it's a furniture, you have somebody who's bread and butter, a designer, like, I don't know, name some high-end furniture designer whose furniture costs, say a table's like $20,000. How do you actually stop a Chinese knockoff? Now, you can't do it by software on that level because they'll probably just write their own software. So does this mean they're going to be stopping the importing? I mean, there's a lot of things. And in all the articles I did read about it, just we're talking about doing it by law and imports. And I don't know. I really don't know how you combat this. I mean, it's kind of cool. They're saying that, okay, this has been here for 25 years and it's now public domain. We're going to protect it. But on the other hand, you're also stopping people from being able to use those designs.
Right. I think it might have something to do with imports. I think that's the only way you can regulate it because...
yeah.
How do you tell a company in a different country what they can and can't do?
No, it has to be with imports. And see, the technology for 3D printing is amazing to me. And I know in an earlier podcast, we talked about a game coming out called Deus Ex Mankind Divided. Now, the company who did that actually partnered, and I think I talked about this, partnered with a company who actually makes, what do you call it? Like the hands for people who don't have it or something happens.
Oh, yeah. Prosthetics.
And their prosthetics they've been making are fairly high-end. Like, you can control the different fingers by doing certain movements with the muscles that are existing.
Right.
And they're actually going side-by-side with this company. And some of the early models have been 3D printed.
Well, they did a couple things with Metal Gear 5 and that as well, where they made a few prototypes of Snake's arm from Metal Gear 5. It's pretty cool.
Now, we had a little bit of a conversation about firearms, so I figured this is a perfect time to bring up an Apple controversy. So I'm going to hand this over to Shay, and just to let you know, this may bleed into the second part of our conversation today once we hit the break. So
it's really interesting. We got some new news for the iOS 10 Beta 4, and it's not what you'd think it would be. So Apple has decided to get rid of the firearm emoji, the revolver, And they're going with a green squirt gun with an orange tip, and that's going to be replacing the firearm. They're also doing, what is it, like more than 100 other changes to Apple's emojis. They're trying to do more skin colors, include more women in a diverse professional role, more detailed characters, and trying to make things look a little bit more 3D. Now, Apple has officially said that they want to ensure that popular emoji characters reflect the diversity of people everywhere.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to make that a tease. What we're going to do is we're going to be just right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
So I think probably one of the reasons why they decided to go with the squirt gun instead of the revolver, and we're talking about how Apple has decided to replace the revolver with the squirt gun, is because of a little campaign on social media called hashtag disarm the iPhone, which was launched by advocacy group New Yorkers Against Gun Violence. And so their whole goal was to pressure Apple into dropping the support of the revolver emoji.
I don't know if you can hear this over a podcast. That's my hand hitting my forehead. Normally, I think this is kind of a storm in a teacup. Unfortunately, I can't really... I don't know for the other podcasts on this network. I'm a huge gun guy. Without getting too much into it, I'm very pro-gun, and this is stupid. For me, and one thing is, emojis, I always thought were generic. Now, maybe in an era where people can't spell as well, and emojis are apparently the in thing, I don't get it.
I get the
changing the skin color, adding more women to professional roles. That I get. But... I guess. This is just weird. I mean, I just use smiley faces. How many people are using women or men in suits and the pistol emoji? I mean, I'm kind of... What?
Well, I think a lot of what they use the pistol emoji for is, like, being a baller, right? Like, you got a sack of money on one side and then a pistol in the other hand. Or, like, you're trying to shoot somebody you don't like or something. Like, it's supposed to be, like, a funny little thing. I think this is kind of taking things a little out of hand. And I feel like there are much, much more... I feel like there are much more pressing issues in the argument on firearms than whether or not an iPhone has one.
Like, a little far? I mean, we have greater things to worry about. I don't know, a hole in the ozone layer. The economy's going broke. We have a middle class who's declining. There's got to be something more important than this. I mean,
but Jonathan,
please.
Guns are bad. We can't have guns anywhere, not even in our media. We're on our phones.
So are cigarettes. I mean, I know I'm being a little tongue in cheek here.
Is there a cigarette emoji?
I think there is. There should be. I realize what I'm saying is a little bit of hyperbole, but I really don't get this. I mean, I'm a pretty big tech guy, and I think this is incredibly stupid. I mean, this is almost as bad as the last DVD release of E.T. They removed all the firearms and replaced it with people pointing walkie-talkies.
Yeah, because that's how you're going to stop an alien invasion.
And I'm not kidding. That I don't know if it's still that way, but if you ever find it, it's funny as heck. They're like, freeze! I'm going to talk you to death. I really don't get this.
No, I think it's a little ridiculous. I feel like the New Yorkers Against Gun Violence should possibly focus on another like subject. I feel like this is a really small battle, but hey, they won, so power to them.
I have an honest question here. I don't get the skin color thing. I mean, I get the historical aspects and et cetera, but the emojis are yellow. Are the Simpsons the majority? I truly am. I don't understand the point of doing that. I mean, maybe it's because I use emojis so little that I just don't care the fact there's not an African American emoji or a Caucasian American emoji, or the fact that my Boston Terrier doesn't have emoji, which, by the way, I want a Boston Terrier emoji. Come on. If you're going to do everything else, throw in a Boston Terrier.
Well, and I think it's interesting to know that, like, there's a lot of third-party emoji, like, apps and stuff like that. So, I mean, we're still going to get our gold-plated AK-47 emoji, you know. That's not going away anytime soon.
Matter of fact, I did read, and I don't remember the name of it. There's actually one company that's kind of in control of all the emojis. Like, there's some agreed-on corporation that actually is the base controller of all the emojis. This is weird. I never thought in all my life I would be talking about them replacing a picture of a gun with a squirt gun. It's do 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 do.
Well, so, what's really interesting to note too is that at one point, it's a revolver for one thing. I mean, it's not exactly an assault weapon, as they like to say. But yeah, it's a revolver. But I guess at one point, Apple was actually planning to do a set of rifles to their emojis, like. Probably like AR-15s and a couple 308s and, you know, that kind of thing. And I guess they're not going to do that anymore.
Okay. Even as a gun guy, I don't get that one either. It just seems weird that, you know, if I wanted to send somebody a picture of a gun, I would just find some generic one on the internet. I'm confused on the whole thing. I mean,
well, again, it's a social media culture thing. It's like, we got my bag of money in one hand and I'm holding my gold plated AK in another, or you know, it's one of those things where it's like little cutesy emoji like messages. Like, I don't know if you've seen them, but like people are notorious for doing these really elaborate emoji.
Like, I've seen pictures of them on, you know, those clickbait websites, and I'm thinking, y'all have a lot more time than I do.
Right. I was going to say something else about... Oh, yeah. On Steam, they have a lot of cool gun emojis. Like, when you use the trading cards and stuff like that, you can get little emojis for the game. And so, like, I love to have Gordon Freeman holding an AK-47 with a bag of money. And, you know, or, like, you know, I'll have, like, Chell from Portal holding a wrench. Like, you know, just things like that.
That's... Wow, I'm just shocked by this. Now, we have a little bit of time before we go to break. We're going to try to move this to a more serious tone before I laugh this entire episode. So we're gonna switch to a story that is near and dear to everybody's heart who has Comcast. Comcast is being sued by the state of Washington. Washington Attorney General Bob Ferguson has filed more than $100 million consumer lawsuit against Comcast. Now, this is nothing new. Comcast has a history of it being really hard to quit their service. One of the more famous examples by this is there's a tech luminary. He's one of the founders of Engadget, of GDGT. He tried to quit Comcast, and they wouldn't let him. He got so irritated, he actually recorded him. This is a gentleman by the name of Ryan Block, and literally could not get them to shut down his service. There's an audio file out there, if you guys want to find it, but it's an example of bad customer service.
Comcast is notorious for bad customer service. Don't ever call their hotlines for anything. If you can do it online, do it online.
And I do have a few tips for people, and this is really depending on how long you plan on having Comcast. Like, you can rent Comcast modems for $10 a month. I generally recommend going out and buy them. There's actually a compatibility list. They're generally, you just need DOCSIS 3, and there's a few more things.
Well, they make a couple dual modem / routers, yeah. And that's what I use.
See, I'm never a big fan of the modem router combo. Like, for my mom and dad, it would be fine. But for me, I like having like the choice of routers, but just because I'm a geek and I get bored easily, so it's just something for me to play around with, honestly.
Just don't want to spend the extra money.
Oh, no, they're a great cost-saving measure. The only downside is they're not known for having the greatest distance. So if you can...
Yeah, your Wi-Fi will suck.
Yeah, you know, so generally I just recommend something with antennas. I mean, it doesn't really matter the price. If you want something with the newest spectrum or the newest spec, you're going to want to spend more money. But this lawsuit is... So what they're looking for, the state of Washington, it wants, says the lawsuit is seeking more than $73 million in restitution to pay back service protection plans, full restitution for all service calls that applied to improper code estimates, at least $1 million. So for me, I bought their modem, and I'm having issues with it constantly dropping. I called them. Their comment was, oh, it'll be $75 if it was found out to be your equipment. It's like, please.
Well, good for Washington State.
Removal of credit card checks from credit reports of more than 6,000 customers. Oh, that's just evil. Up to $2,000 per violation of the Consumer Protection Act. Comcast clearly discloses the limitation of its service protection plans. Look, generally, I'm not a big fan of lawsuits, but Comcast, this is something they've been serially doing forever. Hopefully, this wakes up Comcast, because by the way, $100 million for any company, including one that owns Universal's, this is a big hit to them. So let's hope that if they do win, I mean, not Comcast, Washington State, Comcast will start being nicer. I mean, I highly doubt it, but... At this point, to me, they seem like Microsoft of the mid-90s. And with that note, we're going to hit to a break, so we'll catch you on the flip side.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
So Apple has acquired Seattle's Wash-based machine learning and artificial intelligence setup, known as Turi, for around $200 million and is trying to battle Google, Amazon, Facebook, and in the, I guess we can call it the artificial intelligence space race, the artificial intelligence race.
This is something Apple does. Apple's never... And so this is a weird thing. Apple has never been an innovator.
No, they just take from everybody else and try to improve it.
Yeah, I mean, they were an innovator once. So what exactly is this supposed to give them?
So really what this is supposed to do is it's supposed to... they're going to definitely use it in Surrey. So they're trying to use this technology to make Surrey a little bit better. And... You know, more responsive. I know that's one of the main goals.
They're going to try to make her snarkier? Holy crap.
I don't know about that. But, you know, trying to make her a little bit more intelligent. Maybe, you know, there was an episode of the Boondocks where Surrey started basically seeing Mr. Freeman, the granddad. And, like they kind of come into a relationship. And then she gets, like, really controlling and, like, takes over his entire life. And, like, so he goes and buys an Android and she, like... hacks the Android and turns it into an iPhone, and like you know,
you can't
basically
do that, Dave.
Yeah, you know exactly. She says that too at one point. It's like really funny. So I don't know. Like I'm kind of worried about what Surrey is going to become.
Daisy. I give crap about anything with artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence because it vaguely scares the crap out of me. But
I mean, artificial intelligence has been around us for a really long time. Like, I mean, if you even look at like the computers and video games and like how the enemies relate around you, that's technically artificial intelligence.
But I haven't seen good artificial intelligence in a video game in almost ever. I mean, right. Fallout 4 has improved a little bit, but the idea of a sentient one scares me. But the positive side about this is the only thing I want Siri to be able to do better is understand the difference in inflection and words. Like, for example...
Well, and hopefully this will fix that.
Like the biggest one, for example, is a common misspelling of a word, flicks. There, you know, a lot of things use F-L-I-X. They don't, Amazon definitely doesn't, understand the difference between the two. Now, in theory, if you got similar to it, you know, that it should be able to say, okay, there's this with this version of the spelling, this with that one. That's the only thing to me that I think it really needs to be improved on. And then the inflection, the voice I would like, but serious, sarcastic is all get.
So this isn't the first thing that Apple has bought for AI. They have a couple other things that they've bought in the past. And, you know, it's one of those things where I think Apple sees that Microsoft is really investing a lot of time and money into AI, what with Tay and the...
Yeah, but we both saw how well the last one went.
Well, we'll see how the Microsoft bot or the Minecraft bot goes.
I'm excited about that, but I still... Free Tay!
Yeah, for real. Hashtag free Tay. But, you know, maybe Apple's trying to do the good thing, and maybe they're trying to buy all these artificial intelligence companies just to shut down artificial intelligence.
Honestly, I doubt it.
Oh, no, I'm just, it's more, that was more of a joke than anything.
Hashtown down with AI. I actually think this is a good thing for them. Google has been using algorithms and forms of AI for years. Microsoft's been doing something similar.
Right.
Apple's really behind the times, and I think this is pretty much the only way they're going to be able to improve the iPhone at all, since at this point, it's such a mature platform that they're doing things like removing the headphone jack because they're out of ideas. So I don't know. I'd love to see them successful in improving Siri. I mean, I do use Siri a lot. I mean, I do have an iPhone. I actually use the dictate to text a lot, you know, like I'm driving, I'm saying, "Hey, Siri, text mom." And yes, I know if anybody who's listening to this in a car, my apologies.
Hey, that's funny.
That's just saying Xbox off. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how well they do, because I don't even like the one for Android. The only thing Android is cool is you don't have to be connected. Like the iPhone, you actually have to be connected to a power source enabled to use the Hey Siri comment.
Oh, really?
My wife's phone is an Android-based phone. I'm trying to get her to buy an iPhone, by the way. Is the fact you can say, okay, Google, or okay, Google Now, or something like that, and it'll come up with things. You can even change it to be what you want.
Well, there was one that was on Android for a little bit. You had to download it. It was called Robin. And it was basically like Siri. I kind of liked it better than Siri. It was actually kind of useful. But that was, what was it? That was like 2013. So I don't know if they've ever improved it.
The coolest thing about Siri, and I don't know if it works for anything else, because unfortunately I just don't have a lot of seat time on Android phones, is saying, you know, "Hey Siri, what's the square root of 2,685? And it'll give me the answer to that.
Right.
You know, it's I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, Apple is definitely trying to catch up on the space race. I mean, at this point, I think they're, you know, this is the, what's name a sports analogy. You know, this is the fourth quarter and we've got 5 minutes to go type of thing.
Right.
I mean, so how well, yeah. What do you think? I mean, do you think this is going to be good for them, or do you think they're just playing catch up?
I honestly think that Apple is just playing catch up, and I really don't see them buying this company as really doing anything for them. Like, I feel like they're kind of just throwing money at it.
I agree. I kind of feel similar to the iPad and the other stuff. I know with the iPad coming out, you know, a while ago, and they have the iPad Pro, and you even have Apple now saying, "Oh, the iPad Pro is a computer," even though it's not running the full-fledged version of OS X, which, don't get me wrong, iOS is a computing platform, but when myself and Shay and thousands of other people think computer, we're thinking OS X, we're thinking Ubuntu, Linux, we're thinking Windows, not iOS.
Right. It's really funny because, like, Apple's official statement and all of this is actually kind of interesting. You might get a kick out of this. Apple buys smaller technology companies from time to time, and we generally do not discuss the purposes of our plans. So maybe Apple's just trying to take over the world.
Honestly, I think the ghost of Steve Jobs is bored, and it's just like, hey, why don't we buy this, this, and this? What are we going to do with it? I don't know. Just buy them. You know, it's like their pocket. They're shaking the couch out from the break room.
Maybe they're just like trying to throw everybody off. They're just like, hey, these tech people are trying to figure out what we're going to do next. Let's throw them off and buy an artificial intelligence company and completely screw with them.
It wouldn't be hard. Apple patents so many things, and half the stuff people talk about when it comes to Apple is something that their R&D lab thought of and decided to patent before anybody else makes it. And so I wouldn't be surprised, but I think this is more true to life. Is whether good or bad, AI is the future. Whether it's people are lazy or we need assistance in things. I think that we have a story somewhere, whether it'll be this podcast or next podcast, about AI is actually helping people health-wise. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the future with this. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to subscribe to us by going to gsmcpodcast.com. That's gsmcpodcast.com. Click on technology, subscribe to us. You can find us on iTunes and everywhere on the interwebs. The other thing is I want you to do me a favor. Also go to facebook.com, type in GSMC Technology Podcast. This is episode 21. Make a comment. How do you think we're right? How do you think we're wrong? Or if you just have a story that you want our take on, we want to do that. I'm Jonathan Charney.
I'm Shane Northrup.
And as always, thank you for listening.